All right. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've got to tell you, I love watching those horses go out there and run their hearts out. And I have to say it, I loved watching American Pharoah go out there and become the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. That was pretty sweet. You know, and all that horse did was go out and do what God created him to do, to run and run fast. You know, so many of us today, we're trying to do somebody else's job. American Pharoah would fail as a plow horse. I never have plowed with a horse. I did with a little Farmall Cub tractor one time. Didn't do a terrible job, but I only did a small section. You know, Bob, would you think American Pharoah would fare very well with as a plow horse? No, because God didn't create him to be a Clydesdale, did he? He created him to run and to run fast. And I just had to laugh and watch as he came around that last turn and he starts stretching it out and stretching it out. And I actually watched a video where they compared American Pharoah with Secretariat from 1973. And if you've never watched the movie Secretariat, you need to watch it. If you like horses, watch it. But even if that's a good thing about winning and taking chances. Because Secretariat won it by 8 lengths. He just grabbed another gear and kept on going. And now to this date, nobody has run the Belmont Stakes any faster than American Pharoah, other than Secretariat. So they've done what they were supposed to do. Let me ask you this, and this is part of, I'm piggybacking on to the last 2 weeks' message about rest in peace, which, by the way, if you go on the computer and look for this message, that's what we titled it, Rest in Peace. There you go. Some of you got it. R.I.P. And the reason being is because right at the moment, everybody thinks we're supposed to be, oh, the church has got to do this. The church has got to block the Antichrist. You realize that it is impossible, impossible for us to stop the will of God. He already said it's going to happen. These things have to happen. A few years ago, the Lord gave me a dream, and I thought it was just for right then and there. And then Angela and I were talking, and it's like, holy smoke, that is for now. There was a little bit happening then, but God said that that's for now. And I started seeing things happen, and God said, rest. I'm like, I don't know how to rest. In my family, rest is working. That's how you rest. It's no wonder nobody's made it out of their 60s. Nobody. I plan on at least going into the 90s. I figure if I can't shoot or fish or ride a motorcycle at that point or chase my wife around the house, get a wheelchair. But God created every last one of us for a purpose. You weren't created to just take up space. He created every person with a purpose. You are so unique that every cell in your body relates just to you. Oh, sure, you know, your kidneys might work for somebody else, your heart might work, might. There is always the chance their body's going to reject it because it was specifically created for you. And I believe God's wanting us now more than ever to learn to rest. And there's a reason why you rest. It doesn't mean you stop doing anything. Okay, let's get that understood. Resting does not mean that, well, hey, I'm just going to go sit on a beach and drink little umbrella drinks until he says to do something. No. I believe that what God's got coming for the church means we're going to need to be rested, and we're going to need to learn how to trust Him in every area of our life. But if we're constantly working up schemes, how to do this, how to do that, we're going to force the hand of God. I ain't never figured out how to take the Almighty's hand and make it move. It's never happened. And so God really started stirring in me. He said, you need to go down this road one more time. And I've done this message, but again, this one's being piggybacked onto resting. So open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 25. And go to verse 14. Now, Jesus oftentimes related things back to the kingdom of heaven. And we are a part of the kingdom of heaven, okay? Everything we do either brings glory to God or it brings repulsion. People are either drawn to us because we're lifting Him up. It means our lives reflect His glory. Our lives reflect what He taught. It doesn't mean we're perfect. I mean, come on. So, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them." Okay, so this man, this plantation owner, we'll call him, called his three faithful servants. These were his three ranch handlers, managers. And he said, "All right, I'm going to give you my belongings to handle and to control while I am gone." Okay? "And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." Right there is the crux of the whole message. We're going to do the whole thing. But that is the crux of the whole message. Each one to his ability. God knows I can't handle 1,000 people. So, I don't have 1,000 people, but I have preached to over 1,000 people. And He's not looking for me to build the biggest church in Morrow County or Central Ohio. I don't need to build a great big building that brings glory to me and shows how good of a manager I am. For those of you that know me, I don't care about those things. If you've known me very long, you've heard me say, I don't care. That's not how God's going to judge me. He's going to judge me by what I taught you and how you grew up. Because that's my job. Okay? My job as a pastor is to edify you, build you up, strengthen you. And I've always, I don't remember who said it, but it's one thing I do believe. You get one of two types of preacher. You either get the drill instructor type or you get a coach type. And sometimes there's a little blend, but I'm a drill instructor. Just do it. This is what the manual says. This is what we do. I think that's why I love to do close order drills. So, and I don't mean being in the formation. I mean, once I learned how to do it and call it from outside, I loved it. It was something unique to take 80 individuals and call a move and they execute it right on the spot. And it was something else because the first time I ever did it, they put me in a courtyard about the size of this building and I had only had about 15 people. I think it was 15 in our squad, so it was me and 14 others. And I had already seen, I didn't get to go first, but I had already watched people who outranked me, who had supposedly been doing drill for a while, marched them right into brick walls. And I thought, I don't have this confidence, Lord. They handed me an NCO sword for the first time, and I threw it up on my shoulder like it was a shotgun. That's a big no-no. My first sergeant let me in on that. So when I go to do my opening move, It was open ranks. I called open ranks, and then I turned around and I reported to the judge that the troops were ready for inspection, and he said, "Corporal, look at your card again." I thought, "Oh, Lord." I held my card up, looked at it, and I said, "Oh, God, I just executed the wrong movement." Perfectly, I might add. He said, "Carry on." I turned around, closed ranks, right face, forward march. We did our thing, came back. I got a 99 out of 100. Wasn't because I was perfect. It was because I didn't let what had happened mess me up on the rest of it. So many people, they do something wrong and they keep going back, "Oh, Lord, I messed up. I screwed. I did the wrong move back here." And God's saying, "Carry on. I forgave you. Carry on and go." Now, I will say I did do the rest of it flawlessly, but executing the wrong movement is at least 10 points. And see, God doesn't expect you to do everything perfectly, but he expects you to do what he's asked you to do. Just like this man, when he gave his servants their quota of money. So the first one got about $5,000, the second one was $2,000, and the other one was $1,000. That's about what their value was. And he said he gave it to each one according to their ability. In other words, he knew, the boss, the owner knew what they were capable of. Don't you think God knows what you're capable of? Bible says he doesn't allow us to be overcome by temptation without providing a way of escape. He knows exactly how far we can go. He knows what it's going to take. And so many of us, "Oh, I'm just so weak. I'm just so weak." You don't find out how strong you are until you're tested. There's some of you, I've praised God because you've gone through some stuff. You've seen some stuff. You've been mistreated and you kept going. You didn't fail. And I hope you see that. Verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5,000. So he's now $10,000. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. He's now at 4. But the one who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Wow. He went and hid his talent. Jesus said, if you've got a light, no man who has a light hides it under a bush. He doesn't hide it under a basket. He at least shows it up so everybody can see it. So many people today, they feel they don't have anything to offer God. "Oh, Lord, this is all I can do. All I can do is pray." Now, by the way, we're all called to pray. Let's keep that straight. All of us are called to pray. That is not a ministry in and of itself. I find that to be the biggest excuse for not wanting to be a servant. "I'll pray, I'll pray." God didn't call you alone to pray. He said, if you want to be great, listen, I got news for you. I want to be great in the kingdom of God. But that means I got to be the servant. So it means you're going to have to try to beat me. Jason and I were just talking today about how there's a certain amount of competition that forces you to do your best. Isn't it? I have to say, you know, I've always told Angela this, and some of you may grumble at me, but when Ohio State beats Miami of Ohio, that's not a victory. It's a scrimmage. Ohio State's national champions. They should never play a college of that degree again. Never. They should be going after Alabama. They should be going after Florida, UCLA. They've proved that they want it. So let's put it this way. We got the Marines. We send the Marines in. Boom, they storm the Iwo Jima, where there's 20,000 entrenched Japanese who are ready to die, and most of them did. They win. And we send them back and say, okay, now wait a minute. Here, we got a little revolt of Boy Scouts, and they won't come out of this camp. So we need to send you Marines in there to do this. Where is the victory? There is no victory because we went backwards. God doesn't call us to go backwards in our victory. He calls us to go forward. We should constantly be trying to do better. That's what Jesus was trying to tell people here. We are supposed to do better. If God gave you $5,000 to do something with, He's expecting you to go do something better because He's got faith in you. So if God gave you the talent, let's say, to sing, God expects you to sing because not all of us have that talent. If you've been gifted to play music, God expects you to do it and to do it well. I hate hearing, I can't. I wish I could. It just makes me want to put that toe, see that pointy one? That's about as high as I can lift it anymore. Right into the keister of people who say, I can't, and they can. It's about like telling me, I don't like that. Have you ever ate that? No. Then how do you know you don't like it? I just think I don't. Most of us think we can't do things. This last manager, one talent. The boss knew that's all he was capable of. But he was capable of that. So it doesn't matter what your talent is. It's important. What is your gifting? Some of you, you can walk right up. I can walk up to perfect strangers. And man, we can just stand there and have a talk for an hour. Others, you don't want to talk to strangers. And anytime I'm in Menards or Lowe's or any of those stores, for some reason I look like I belong there. And people, what do you recommend here? Where's this located? Thank God I know those stores. I had one woman, I just walked by a toilet. She said, could you help me here about these wrenches? I need to find these wrenches. Ma'am, I don't work here, but I'll help you. Because I know how frustrating it is, because half the people there don't know where this stuff is or what they're talking about. God has given me that ability. It's a gift. Well, did you tell them about Jesus? Well, no, I didn't. Sometimes you got to be the plow. We all want to be the harvester. We want to be in that great big combine, taking in the seeds. You know, that's where all the glory's at, isn't it? We forget about the guy who was behind the horse for 12 hours out of that day, beating the sun, beating down on you, sweat. You know, I always knew horses stunk, but I went to, where was I at the other day? Oh, he was at the garage sales at Candlewood, and there were Amish riding around there in their buggies. And we parked, and I could smell that horse as soon as we got out of the car. I'm like, oh Lord, I got to go upwind. That thing stinks. Now, can you imagine being behind it all day while it's doing its business and you got a step in it? You now smell like the horse. We don't want that part. We want the glorious part of bringing in the sheaves, right? Isn't that the song? That's the only song we sing as Christians. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in. Well, there's no seed planted. There's no harvest until there's seed planted. So where's the, we will be the plow, we will be the planter, we will be the weeder, we will be the waterer. Where's all that? Oh, all we want's the glorious part. We want to forget this part. Well, the Bible says that he comes to harvest, we don't. He'll bring the harvest, but it's up to us to be out there and be an example of Christ. For all I know, that woman was a Christian, but But God didn't tell me to open my mouth. Because you know what? She might not. If she wasn't a Christian, the next time she needs a question answered, if I had started preaching at her right then, she might not ever open her mouth again. Sorry. We need to know when to open our mouth. So many of you have got so many different talents and things and areas and likes and interests that God puts you in places and in connection with people to do the things you do. I know we got a couple coaches in here. You get to be an example to these young men and women. Not only of they're learning how to play their sport better, but if they know you're a Christian, how to act like one. It doesn't mean that we don't get a little angry. Don't mean we yell and shout. Somebody asked me the other day, we had been talking about the Marine Corps and I forget how we got down to it, and I said, well, I contemplated going to the drill field. I wanted to be a drill instructor. Had they offered me my third stripe right then, I would have. But for some reason, I couldn't get promoted even though I had the score. I think God wanted me to get out while I could. And so anyhow, I said, and then they said, well, how do you think you'd have fared as a Christian? I said, I couldn't have done that job as a Christian. I couldn't have. Not very well, anyhow. You can't be nice. And sometimes you just get on a roll and, well, things just fly. I had friends who were Christians and they had tried. And while they had successful tours, their spiritual life took a beating. So God has gave me you. I can do this and be a Christian. I hope. I lost my place. Where we at? 18. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, look, you delivered to me 5 talents, and I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. When you enter into the joy of your Lord, you're also entering into his rest. Again, it doesn't mean you don't do anything. It just means you walked into a whole new realm of blessing in your life, of authority in your life, of honor in your life. So many times we don't want all that other stuff. Because personally, I'm content to stay behind the curtain. I'm fine with running sound machines and things of that nature. I'm content with that. Always was. But that is not the talent God saw inside. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, now can you imagine the arrogance of this servant? Said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He knew his master to be a hard. Now, don't you think the one who had $5,000 knew the same information? The one that had 2,000 knew the same thing, that he was a hard man and that he reaped where he didn't sow. But yet this one, thinking he was much smarter than the other two, because he didn't take a chance. You know, God's all about chances. The whole reason Jesus died was for a chance. That's it. For you to have the chance. The opportunity. Not everybody's going to take it. That's the sad part. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming would have received my money, or received back my own with interest." Simple concept, wasn't it? He couldn't even do that because he thought he knew better. You know what he said? He's rich enough. He's got enough money. He doesn't need this. What is another $1,000? He's not going to miss it. You know what? There's a whole spirit in the world right now that is trying to take those who rise above and bring them down here on our plane and take what they have and give it to those who are lazy and pointless. I had to change that real quick because everybody's got a value. We're not worthless. It's called communism. And it has crept into this country because we want to take away from the people who have made money. We can look at the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts and all these other people, the Carnegies, and all these people who made billions of dollars, even in this last 100 years, and we can say, "Oh, you vile, you bad person, you bad person, you bad person." Well, there would not be trains across this country if it hadn't been for the Vanderbilts. You would not have libraries and music halls if it weren't for the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. Yeah, they did some probably pretty vile things from what I've understood about history. But if it wasn't for what they did, we wouldn't be where we're at. And if we weren't where we were at in 1941 when Japan attacked us, we would not have been set to gear up and win. We'd have just done what we're doing today, rolling over and letting people wipe their feet on us. If it weren't for people like Henry Ford, he kept taking his money, making it bigger, 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 and he kept hiring people on at a fair day's wage. Oh, but let's take his money. Do you know that if you make $10 an hour, that's what your boss gives you for that $1 or for that 1 hour, he has $20 an hour in you. Because he's got to match your taxes. There's things he's got to pay. Now, I believe in fair wages. Male or female, you do the work, you get paid. But today we want to take from the people who are got the vision, they've got the money, to maybe take an old factory and turn it into something that'll produce jobs. We want to take the money away from them because, well, we got to give it to the lazy people. That's what we want to do. Jesus even said right here, "You lazy, wicked servant, you should have at least, at the bare minimum, taken what was mine and put it in a savings account and earned a little bit of interest." And today, that is very little interest. 0.001%. For those of you who are keeping track, it is very little. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You use it or you lose it. I used to be able to draw really good. I could draw deer, snakes, fish, cars, motorcycles. I haven't drawn anything in, I'll bet, over 10 years. I think I lost it. I used to draw all the time. And part of it was because I was always moving around doing this or that while I was in the Marine Corps. And then life took off and I just never sat down at a table again, paper. But part of it was because I had drawn some pictures. And they were laying there at my little secretary in my squat or my barracks room. And I heard my roommates over talking. Who does he think he is? You know what? They were jealous. And one of them was lazy and went UA, which is unauthorized absence, or AWOL for everybody who knows that term, because he didn't have what it took. So I just quit drawing. I can still draw a little bit. It takes me a little while to loosen up and get back into it. I used to be able to run. Yeah, that ain't happening. I can run if I have to. And if I don't have to, I'm jumping on the four-wheeler. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. If we don't use what God has given us, folks, that will even be taken away from us. Listen, God gives people dreams for a reason. I thank God that he gave Henry Ford the dream to build a car that everybody could have. I thank God for that. Even though I'm driving a General Motors. If it weren't for the dream that Henry Ford had, none of the car makers probably would have made it very far. I thank God for the dream that Steve Jobs had. All we want to do is curse them because, you know, well, their political beliefs or their religious beliefs. Those of you with iPhones, where would you be? How about Microsoft? You know, I remember it was the sixth grade. We had an Apple IIe for the entire school. And I got to spend some time on it. It was fun. But if those computers had not existed and somebody said, I've got a dream of making this happen, then we wouldn't have more technology in our little cell phone than it required to send the first man to the moon on our hip. And I do have to tell you this. I want to encourage you. Those of you who have struggled in certain areas, maybe you weren't the smartest in math or the smartest in history or science or English or whatever. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Always keep going. I was walking through Walmart the other day, and I'll be honest with you, there's times I go in singing the Walmart people song. Certain days I go in and I told Angela, I said, I feel my IQ number dropping quicker. Get me out of here. Just something wrong. Friday nights, I promise you, you go over there and there'll be cross-dressers and everything else. So I don't go to Walmart on Friday nights. But I was in there the other day and Jesse and Justin and I were walking by one of the guys who works at the phone thing, and he was standing there by the things. And y'all have seen these new Apple Watches. Supposed to be super high tech and all this stuff. He had one. How he could afford one, I have no idea. But he had one. And I'm walking by there, and he's got his arm up in there. And says, what's 23 divided by 3? I'm thinking, really, is it that hard? And I just kept walking. And I'd already had it figured out. He had to tell it again. What's 23 divided by 3? I felt like telling him the answer. But he was more impressed with trying to show off what he had. Because I really hope it didn't take him that much to figure it out. And, you know, we tend to do that. Because I want to tell you, I wasn't that good at math. I really wasn't. I took business math as a freshman, and for somehow I was able to skip math my sophomore year. I went to Fredericktown for a year, and they said, how did you skip math last year? You should have had one more course. So I had to take general math again. They got me. And then my dad dropped a bomb on me my senior year, because I was going to become a lineman. He said, you need to take algebra. I said, say what? I can barely say algebra. He said, yeah, you got to have one course of algebra. Well, it'd been nice to have known 3 years ago. So when I fail it, I could have taken it over. I took algebra. And for 3 9 weeks, I got straight A's. Something about applying myself. But today, just because of repetition, there's things I know. I just know it. I didn't have to figure out hard. I may not have come up with the exact thousandths on the answer, but I'd have been close enough to get it figured out. See, if we don't use the things God gives us, we're going to lose them. God puts us in places and positions. Sometimes they stress us. Don't you guys think for 1 minute that this guy's got $5,000, somebody else's money. Today, that doesn't seem like a whole lot to invest, does it? So let's make it worthwhile. Let's say he's got $500,000, and his boss is somebody who, for somehow, money comes in where he didn't put money. He just makes money. He walks, and money comes to him. But he's known to be a hard man. He doesn't put up with foolishness. So if you invest his money foolishly, there's a chance you're going to get your butt kicked. Don't you think this man thought about this? I had better do this right. Every little thing that you do, God just wants you to do it good, to your abilities. He's not asking you to paint a Rembrandt. But maybe he needs you to paint a wall. You do it good. And if he's gifted you to paint a Rembrandt, well, how about we call it whatever you are? Because the other one's forgery. Maybe you should start painting. Oh, Pastor, but I've got that desire and I've got a little bit of ability, but I'm not that good. Seriously, have you seen Picasso's work? I'm sorry. They weren't all that good back then either. But maybe he did make you Michelangelo. You're not going to know. Because you're too stressed out and worried about stepping out and taking the talent he gave you and utilizing it. Because guess what? You can speak to everybody through your giftings. I promise you, you can. There's a whole group of people that Pat and Harold can talk to. They can just walk in and start talking right to them. It's Vietnam vets. Even though I'm a vet, they've got something I don't. And they can get right in there and talk. because they've been in the same boat. So take what he has and give it to the one with ten. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even that what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to understand something, folks. Everybody's worried about the fires of hell. I have yet, other than the parable of Lazarus, I have not seen where Jesus said, cast them into the fires of hell. Because according to what I do know, that is reserved for the angels who led man astray. But Jesus talks about a hell that I think would be worse. And I don't care about Dante's Inferno and all these other people have had visions. You know what? Visions are visions, and they need to be rightly interpreted. And sometimes, especially when you get, well, I went to hell, I went to heaven, I went to heaven, I went to hell, and you got totally different conflicting reports, I don't think it's interpretive. I think it is what it is, but Jesus says, here's what hell is. It's being cast out completely away from God. There is no light. And you will be in such torment. I don't care if you're afraid of the dark. I thrive in walking around in the dark now, as having been somebody who was afraid of the dark as a child. I enjoy walking in the dark until I find a bicycle or a shovel or something that got left in the yard. Or maybe the potential anxiety attack because I heard the leaves rustling and, you know, knowing that there's a bunch of coyotes around my house and, you know, not knowing what might be in the weeds. I'm about ready to. I carry my gun. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my 9mm and my shotgun, they bring me comfort. But you see, the utter darkness we will be cast into is separation forever from God. That is the ultimate torture. Because while we're here, and while we look around and say, oh, this earth is so full of evil, it is. But if it were not for God, if it were not for the light, we couldn't imagine how bad it would be. The thing we have to remember is we are the light that is set on the hill. And if we are not reflecting the love of God, if we are not lifting up Christ, then we have failed our jobs. Because I think right now God wants us to worry about reflecting Him. And He's worried about us creating worldwide revivals that are sure to fall on our face because without Him, if He didn't build it, we're working in vain. I think the greatest revival that could ever happen is every believer actually start believing and living like it, acting like it. So if you're one of those people that keep, God, what am I going to do? What can I do? What can I do? Sit down and write what you can do. Oh, well, God, you know, all I'm talented in is, you know, fashion. Do you know how many women have low self-esteem because they don't know how to put an outfit together? And yet you do. Oh, God, all I know how to do is cook. Do you know how many husbands would love to have their wives be able to cook good? Mine cooks good now. I ain't gonna lie. She, when we were first married, I got to tell you this. My favorite food, fried chicken. My mama's fried chicken. Ain't nothing like a hillbilly woman cooking fried chicken. They know how to put them things together. Actually take them apart. And so Angela, she got, my mom told her how to do it. And I think she told you over the phone, maybe. Yeah, she told her how to do it. Oh, she got out of a cookbook. Okay. Nothing like real experience. Now I actually love her mom's oven fried chicken. So that works out just as well for me. And anyhow, so Angela cooked up this fried chicken. Oh my goodness, it was awesome. And for once, I didn't have to fight over the breast. You know, when you're growing up in a family of seven, and there's only two chicken breasts, and dad gets one of them, it became a fight for the five of us, and I had outgrown the legs. And so I had my own chicken breast, nobody there to fight me for it. It was beautiful on the outside. Cut down into that, and it was pinker and pink in the middle. I'm like, honey, it's not totally right. But you know what actually helped her? Sitting down with my grandmother. My grandmother, with the frying pan right there, showed her how to do it. She can do it. I think it makes less of a mess to do it in the oven, so I'm good. I still get my fried chicken. It tastes good. Sometimes your gifting might be to show somebody else how to do something that you take for granted. How do I change a spare tire? How do I change a tire? I don't understand this. And anymore, they don't want you working on your car, so. Things we take for granted, other people look and say, I'm lost. I don't know how to do this. Well, I promise you, if you want to learn, somebody will help you. So, but again, I want you to understand that resting in God means you do what He's gifted you and called you. Okay? Again, God didn't call me to be up here singing, playing an instrument, even though I've always had a desire to want to go do it, and I've filled in for people playing the drums, but that was 20 plus years ago. Was learning to play the guitar 20 plus years ago. Just never accomplished it. And then God showed me one day, somebody asked me if I can play an instrument. And as a sound man, I played every instrument. Ain't nobody sound good if I say so. I can shut you off right now, Jack. And you ask any musician or singer, it's impossible to play if you can't hear. But God has gifted us all in different areas. Rest in the fact that He has your area. And He will bless you. But you've got to be willing and obedient to use it. Quit hiding your gift. You have something to offer people. And I said, we got people that do things all the way around in here. I'm looking around right now and I'm seeing about four or five of you that are coaches. I think that's awesome. Or have been coaches. That's awesome. You get to speak into people's lives. You get to bring out the best in people. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a pastor on this side, there's nothing more rewarding for me than to see people excel and to grow. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. It's finding a way to make somebody come out of their little cocoon, run faster, throw harder, swing harder, shoot better, whatever it is we do. And you can flip all those right over into the spiritual realm. It does my heart good when I hear people say, you know what, I thought about calling you and having you pray, but I thought I could do that. I can do that. And they pray and God answers. Imagine that. then I've accomplished my job. It's an amazing thing. I now know God did not call me to travel the world preaching in small communist countries. Actually, Ukraine's not small. I'll end with this. This has nothing to do. I do know that I believe God, even though that is not my heart and desire to go and preach, and while it was a little more of a tough time than I thought, God made my paths cross when I was over there with my interpreter. She was 26, and she wanted to be married. And she had been engaged, and her boyfriend decided to get flaky and run off and left her, and you know, there's not a whole lot of promises of a good future, especially where they were at. And, you know, God said, you can pray for her. Pray for her right now. And I took her by the hands, and we prayed. And I asked God to bring a husband that will love her like she deserves. Now, over the years, I've seen her post pictures, you know, her smiling and all that stuff. But 2 weeks ago, she posted pictures in her bridal gown. The previous 4 years of smiles did not match that one. And the hilarious part is her name is now Irina Rina. Like, yeah, that's an interesting combination there, Irina. But you see, God could have used me for that one whole trip just to pray for her. Just to pray for her. Was it worth the expense? Every bit of it. Because I don't think you understand. While we ministers are over there, we were ministering and we were preaching, they're preaching too. Except now they've got a double load. They got to figure out how to say it from English into Russian. And not everything translates real well. I was told not to tell any jokes. They do not translate. And what else did they say? Oh, don't ever, at least in the Russian language, don't say the word Scott, which to us over here is a surname. Because Scott over there means jerk. I'm like, okay. So, and they don't have any way to translate that over. So you never know. You never know what you might get asked to do. You might get asked to help the little old lady next door. All right, let's stand. Do you have anything? Okay. I want you to always remember, you have a purpose. Rest in His purpose for you. You find your purpose in Him, you'll find rest. A church only needs one pastor. But he or she needs backup. So you've got a place everywhere. Don't ever forget it. And if you want to be great, which should be our desire, learn to be a servant first. I was sharing with some people the other night how we've had, in that last 14 years now, we've had people come in, and first thing they tell me if they've been around for a while is, Pastor, I'm anointed in this spiritual gift. I'm like, fine. Show me how you serve first. And the ones that can't show me how they can serve and love people by serving that way usually leave. But the ones who can show me how they love people by their actions and their service, they excel. And they actually step into new realms. Because I've been way too many churches where people just let spiritual gifts run amok and churches split. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, this church shall not split. That's all there is to it. So, let's pray and I'll dismiss you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. Father, I thank you that while you are a God and Lord to be feared, you are also, as the first two servants understood, a master to be revered and loved. And Father, that is what I see. Lord, it is my desire, and I believe the vast majority of the believers in here today, it is their desire to serve you, to love you. And Father, help us to enter into this rest and into your joy as we deal with the things you have given us. Help us to multiply that. Give us wisdom and courage to move beyond the things that have come our way to stop us, but that we can keep excelling. And now, Father, I bless these people. I thank you for them, Lord. Father, I know many of them will be faced with things yet this week that will try their faith, try their patience, and some of them may even ask if there is a God and if he's worth serving. Father, I know the answer, and I know that you will help them through it. So now, Lord, be with them. Bless their homes. Bless their places of employment. Set your angels round about them to protect them and keep them from harm. In Jesus' name, amen.